invite you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll be looking again tonight at the Lord's Prayer. We'll begin reading at verse 9 of Matthew 6. These are the words of our Savior. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these words that are before us. We thank you that you have seen fit through your Son to teach us by your Spirit how to pray. Lord, we want to be a people who pray to you aright. We want to be a people who have minds and hearts fitted for communion with you. We want to be faithful children of our Heavenly Father, and children who recognize our need and thus cry out to our Father like this. And so we pray, Lord, even as the disciples asked our Lord, we pray, teach us to pray, and do it tonight through your word and by your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout our exposition of the Lord's Prayer, there's one vital aspect of this prayer that I have yet to call your attention to. And that is the pronouns that are scattered throughout this prayer. The pronouns, they are all, without exception, in the plural. We are called here to pray to our Father. We're called to pray for our daily bread. We're called to pray for our sins to be forgiven, for God to deliver us from temptation and sin. Now, this prayer can certainly be prayed individually, and it ought to be. But Jesus is teaching us here how to pray corporately. He's teaching us about how to pray together. There is an assumption here undergirding this prayer that it will be prayed together as the church. And I say that as a reminder to us tonight of why we are looking at this prayer in the first place. We're looking at it so that we might grow in prayer, not just as mere individuals, but as a body, so that we would grow to be like the church in the book of Acts that is devoted to the prayers. That is Jesus' will for us, friends. Tonight we come to the fourth petition of this masterful prayer, a petition along with the next two that is focused upon our good. Our good. And this fourth petition is found at the beginning of verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. What is Jesus teaching us here? Well, first, he's teaching us to look to our Heavenly Father for all things. To look to our Father for all things. A petition is something that we ask of God. And here, the object that we are asking God for is bread. Now, there have been some in church history that have understood this to be referring to spiritual bread. That this is a prayer for God to open up His Word to us, for God to feed us on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's certainly good and right for us to pray for that. That God, especially on the Lord's Day, but every day as we come to His Word, that He would feed us, that He would nourish our souls, that He would make us satisfied with His loving kindness and with the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But our Lord here is not talking about spiritual bread. He's talking about physical bread. Now, if you're gluten-free, don't be alarmed, because the term bread here refers, as it does throughout the Scriptures, we saw it in Psalm 104 as well, it refers to the general category of food. Jesus is teaching us to pray to our Father for food. But there's actually more going on here than just that, because food is a specific here that refers to the general category of physical needs. Food is the most basic of physical needs, and thus it is fitting to point us to that which we need for our physical well-being. That is what we are taught to pray for here. All things needed for our physical well-being, down to the very food that nourishes our bodies. This is what the Catechism calls the outward blessings of this life. Now notice we are petitioning our Heavenly Father to give us bread. I wonder if that verb give smells a little irreverent to you. If my son came to me and said, "Dad, give me $150 right now so I can go buy a new Lego Star Wars set," I would respond, "Excuse me? Excuse me?" His demeanor is demanding. His request is superfluous. He's not honoring me by his petition. But if he came to me before leaving for school and said this, Dad, can I please have $5 so that I can buy my lunch today? Well, that's a completely different story. He's not demanding. He's not asking for something unnecessary. The request actually honors me because my boy is acknowledging his dependence upon me. He can't provide for himself. He can't even afford a cafeteria cheeseburger. He needs me. And so he's seeking me. He's coming to me. He's depending upon me. And in this way, his petition, "Dad, can you give me some money?" His petition actually honors me. When we pray to God that He would give us bread, we are not demanding something from Him. We're not like the spoiled brat Veruca Salt from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Kids, do you remember? Remember her? There's this incredibly spoiled girl that demands her pushover dad to give her a golden goose and all kinds of other absurd things. That's not what we're doing when we say, "Father, give us bread." We are asking Him for what we need. We're expressing our entire dependence upon Him for our physical well-being. He's the one from whom we have life and breath and everything, Acts 17:25. And when we live in the acknowledgement of that, we glorify Him, friends. The God upon whom we depend here is, through faith in Christ, our Father. And fathers love. They love to supply their children with what they need when their children ask. And Jesus actually speaks of this later on in this sermon. If you flip over to chapter 7, you see this beginning in verse 9. "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Jesus is inviting us here to bring all of our physical needs to God as a loving Father who cares for us. Now, there are at least two errors that we can fall into when it comes to these realities. The first is to look to God's provision at the expense of our responsibility. Jesus is not teaching us here to sit on our rears and binge watch YouTube for 6 hours a day, since God will take care of our needs. Who needs to work when you have a heavenly Father who says, "Ask, and it will be given to you"? No. Notice Jesus doesn't just teach us to pray for bread here. He teaches us to pray for our bread. That "our" is a possessive pronoun. Possessive pronoun. This is bread that we labor for. It's our bread. But here's how it works. We work and we labor for this bread. And as we do, we acknowledge that God is the one who is supplying our need. God is the one who's ultimately providing for us through our work. And so we're depending upon Him, looking to Him, asking Him to do what only He can. This is not eating McDonald's every day, never exercising, and then praying for physical strength. This is not being in need and crying out to your Heavenly Father to provide while you ignore the outlets of mercy ministry that He has provided through the diaconates in the local church. This is not praying for protection on a road trip while you drive with eyes glued to your cell phone going 30 miles over the speed limit. God's provision here, our dependence upon our Father for our physical well-being, for all things pertaining to our physical well-being, does not nullify our responsibility. So that's the first error. We can look to God's provision at the expense of our responsibility. But the second error is the opposite: to look to our responsibility at the expense of God's provision. I'm hard working. I'm bringing in the dough. I'm putting food on the table. I'm taking my vitamins. I'm working out 5 days a week. I'm getting 8 hours of shut-eye. Look at all these things that I'm doing. And there's not a word of prayer. There's no looking to our Heavenly Father. No sense of dependence upon Him. There's a recognition that it's our bread. It's my bread. But not a recognition that God is the one who is giving it. We are to be looking to our Heavenly Father for all things needful as we faithfully labor in the spheres in which He has called us to. All things needful. But notice second that we are to look to our Heavenly Father at all times. Perhaps the most striking thing about this petition are the temporal modifiers: this day and daily. We're not asking for tomorrow's food. We're not asking for tomorrow's health or tomorrow's strength or tomorrow's financial needs. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God wants us coming to Him daily, expressing our need for His life-giving sustenance daily. Now, in our world today, 9.2% of the world population lives on less than $1.90 a day. That means that roughly 10% of the people in this world live on about $600 or less a year. And it's very common for them to come to a day not knowing if there's going to be food to eat, not knowing if there's going to be money to pay the bus fare. That is a reality that is by and large foreign to us, with our bank accounts and well-stocked refrigerators and 401ks. I mean, when was the last time that you woke up and you were unsure if there was going to be food for you and your family to eat that day. I'm not talking you were unsure if there was going to be food next month. I'm talking that day. Like, the pantry is empty, refrigerator empty, bank account empty, and you're going, I don't know how we're going to eat. When was the last time that happened? I can't even think of a time that that's ever happened. You see, we suffer in our country from an overabundance, not an underabundance. We are counting calories, not because we need to make sure we're getting enough food, but because we need to make sure we're not eating too much food. We are fat with a superabundance of bread. And here's the danger in that. The danger in that is that we are duped into believing that we are actually self-sufficient. We're quite good. I mean, who needs God when Amazon Pantry will deliver whatever your heart's desire to your doorstep in 2 hours or less? Pray for daily bread? I've got a chest freezer with enough food in it for the next 3 months. Daily bread? You got to be kidding. And Jesus says, no. Daily bread. Even prosperous Americans like us must pray daily for all things pertaining to our physical well-being. Food, clothing, shelter, health, sleep, mental vigor, safety, finances. See, chest freezers, bank accounts, retirement funds, these things are not bad in themselves, friends. There's nothing wrong with these things. In fact, there's, according to the whole counsel of God, if we were to look at Proverbs and other places, we would see that there are wisdom in these things. The problem is when we, like the rich fool, remember the rich fool in Luke 12? He had built these big barns and stuffed them full of stuff. And then he sat back and what did he say? He said, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. That's the problem. Self-sufficient smugness. This is why the daily here is so important. You see, God has the ability to give us all the bread that we need for the entirety of our earthly existence in one moment if He wanted to. He could do that. He could even supernaturally keep it from growing moldy or stale over decade after decade if He wanted to do that. But He doesn't do that. He wants us coming to Him as His needy children every day. He wants us to acknowledge our desperate need of Him. He delights when we lean upon Him and we ask Him for what we need. This honors Him as our Father. Friends, we need to remember that. I presume that most, if not all of you, pray before your meals. It's a common practice, and it's a good practice for us. But don't allow your mealtime prayers to become some kind of rote ritual. Thank you for this food, Lord. Bless it to our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason meals are such a fitting time to pray is that they are a stunning display of God's fatherly love and goodness towards us, of His rich, lavish provision towards us. And if you are beginning the day, if you're beginning the day praying to God to supply your daily bread, then it is fitting. It is fitting when God supplies it, and when He supplies it in such a rich way. I mean, just think about it. The next time you sit down to a meal, tonight or tomorrow morning or whenever it is, just think about it. As the food is being chomped between your teeth, think about all the different flavors. Think about all the different textures. Think about all the different smells. Think about all the different colors. And then think about how they mix together. I mean, you just take a bowl of guacamole, for instance, and you've got the avocado, just such an amazing texture and color and taste. And you add some lime to that, and some garlic, and some salt and pepper, and cumin, and all the rest. And it just creates this explosion of flavor in your mouth, like how kind and good God is, that He gives us these things. He's a gracious Father. He's a loving Father. He's not giving us just stale, hard crusts to eat. He's lavishing us with kindness. And we should be praising Him and thanking Him for it. And we should be praying, Lord, You use this to strengthen my physical being, the physical being of my family. Use it for our physical well-being. Every meal, friends, is a reason to worship. But as we've said, this petition entails more than food, much more than food. We could, for example, I think rightly apply it to things like sleep. The psalmist tells us that God is the one who gives sleep to His beloved. And as we lay our heads on our pillows at night, we should pray, Lord, give me this night my nightly sleep. I need, for my physical well-being, I need a good, deep, refreshing night of rest. And I'm looking to You to give it. I'm not just presuming that it's just going to happen, because that's just what bodies do when they're tired. I'm recognizing that this is a good gift from You, and I'm looking to You, I'm depending upon You, I'm praying to You. Everything for my physical well-being comes from You. And that includes this right here, right now. So give it to me, Father. Give it to me. We could apply this to finances, to health, to energy, to psychological stability, to any number of things pertaining to our physical well-being. God doesn't want us just coming to Him when we're in a crunch, friends. Or only at certain times, or only on certain days. He wants us coming to Him at all times and on all days. This is what children do. It's what children do. They depend upon mom and dad constantly. When my little boy Voss comes to me first thing in the morning, and he points at the refrigerator and he signs please, this is please in sign language, when he does that, I know what he's asking for. He's asking for milk. And I don't look at my boy and say, are you kidding me, Voss? You asked for milk yesterday morning. Why you gotta be so needy? I don't respond that way. What do? Well, I take great delight in giving my boy his daily milk when I ask him. And I take delight in seeing his delight, the delight on his face, when from my hand he is given milk. Why? Because I love him. He's my boy. And it honors me when he comes to me and looks to me for that which he can't provide for himself. How much more so does our Heavenly Father love when we come to Him for all that we need? All that we need. We are to look to Him for all things, at all times. But third, we are to look to our Heavenly Father with all humility. This petition directs us to our entire dependence upon God for even the minutest details of our daily existence. Lunch, oxygen, sleep. We need our Father to give us these things. And if He were to withhold them from us, our physical lives would expire. True humility recognizes this. It recognizes that everything that we are and everything that we have is not native and intrinsic to us. It comes from God. So it looks to God. But when I'm speaking of humility here, I'm not so much referring to that. I'm wanting to refer to something above and beyond that. And that is the motive that is undergirding our asking for daily bread. That we need to be asking God for these things, all things pertaining to our physical well-being, at all times, in a posture of humble, a humble spirit. with a humble, selfless, God-fearing motive. That this is not ultimately about us, but it's ultimately about God's glory. God's glory. We must not forget the order in which these petitions are given. Remember that the first three petitions focus upon God's glory. We are asking for His name to be hallowed, for His kingdom to come, for His will to be done. This comes first. And this comes first not by accident. It's not like Jesus just took these six petitions, threw them in a blender, and just said, well, however they come out, that's how they come out. There's purpose here. They are first because they have priority. Our desire for physical well-being is to be unto God's glory. So we're praying, Father, give us our daily bread so that we might have physical strength to worship You, to hallow Your name in this earth. We're praying, Father, give us our daily bread so that we might have strength to labor for the advance of Your kingdom and Your cause in this earth. Father, give us this day our daily bread so that in our mortal bodies we might have strength to carry out Your will as these hands and feet and lips and ears and eyes are used as instruments of righteousness. We are not seeking after physical strength and well-being to pursue our own pleasures and our own dreams. We want to bring pleasure to God. And we need physical strength. We need physical health. We need life in order to do that. That is the reason why this petition is not first. It's fourth. And if you think that's just some kind of extra-biblical speculation that I'm imposing upon the text, well, give your attention to the latter part of this same chapter. Jesus, beginning in verse 25, tells us to not be anxious about things pertaining to our physical well-being, about food and drink and clothing and shelter and all the rest. And He closes out with this command. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, from now on, whenever you hear that command, Matthew 6:33, I want you to automatically think, Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer. Those are the very things that Jesus teaches us to pray for. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's the second petition. Father, Your kingdom come. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the third petition. Your will be done. We want Your righteous will to be carried out by people in this earth. Your will be done. And so we're seeking those things first. Jesus says, set your heart on those things. Make those things your priority. And God will take care of the rest. God will take care of those things pertaining to your physical well-being. That doesn't mean we don't ask for them, friends. It doesn't mean we don't seek them. Jesus teaches us that we ought to, but they are not the priority. Our physical well-being is in the service of the kingdom and the righteousness and the name of God. You see, anyone can pray for physical needs. And unbelievers do it all the time. But when they pray for bread, when they pray for healing, when they pray for whatever it is that is pertaining to their physical well-being or physical well-being of their family members, they're not obeying Jesus' teaching here. They're not carrying out this will of Christ. They are asking for food to the end of filling their bellies. They're asking for money to the end of meeting their needs and desires. They are asking for healing to merely eliminate pain and discomfort and struggle. The chief end of their praying is themselves or perhaps their loved ones. It's the creature. The creature. But for children of the Heavenly Father, the creature is never the chief end. That's what I mean when I'm talking about humility here. Bread is always a means to the end of glorifying Him upon whom we depend for all things. Now, it may be tempting for us at times, especially in light of these first three petitions, to feel like it's unspiritual to bring our physical needs before God, to bring financial needs or health concerns or whatever it might be. It might just seem trite. I mean, in light of the realities of eternity, in light of what is at stake with regards to the souls of men, praying for God to give me a good night of sleep? I mean, that just seems silly. But Jesus calls us to pray for these things. The question is not whether or not we ought to bring these things to God. The question is, why are we bringing these things to God? What is our motive? Is it a zeal for the name and kingdom and will of God? The priority of these first three petitions, rather than discouraging us from praying for our daily bread, actually ought to encourage us to pray for our daily bread. As our hearts come more and more to hallow the name of God, and we recognize the greatness and glory of God, we're setting Him apart as holy in our hearts. What's going to happen? Well, we're going to recognize that as creatures of this God and as sinners before this God who deserve nothing but wrath, everything that we have is a good gift from Him, and that we are radically dependent upon Him. We need Him for everything. And so it's going to drive us to go to Him. When we hallow His name, we're going to go to Him for bread. When we grow in a zeal for the kingdom of God, and when we long to labor for that kingdom and long to have these mortal bodies used to fulfill the righteous purposes of God in this earth, well, guess what? That's going to lead us to pray for daily bread. Lord, I need You to give me a good night of sleep tonight. I need You to give me health and strength tonight. Because, God, I will not be able to fulfill the calling that You have upon my life tomorrow unless You give me physical sustenance. And so I'm looking to You for strength. I'm looking to You for help. I'm looking to You for all things needed for my physical well-being, not just so I can be comfortable, sit back, relax, and enjoy life and be merry like the rich fool, but so I can serve You, God. I want Your kingdom to be advanced through my life, and I need strength. I need strength. These first three petitions encourage us. They propel us into the fourth. I mean, if you're acquainted with your humanity in any sense, you recognize that your spirituality itself is so intimately tied to the physicality of your being. Okay? Have you ever noticed that? You get, 3 hours of sleep at night, and you're eating donuts the next morning for breakfast, and then you try to pray. What happens? You have a really crummy prayer time with the Lord. Right? Because there's an intimate connection between the physical and the spiritual. And God understands that. That's how He made us. Jesus understands that because He's presently in our humanity, glorified, of course, at the right hand of God. And so He wants us coming. He wants us coming to Him for the physical in the service of the spiritual. We want God's glory, and so we pray for daily bread to be given. In His large-hearted goodness, this is what our Father is beckoning us to here. He's beckoning us to look to Him for all things, at all times, with all humility. Our Father will supply our needs when we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Let's pray. Father God, we marvel at that word, Father, our Father. What an awesome thing it is that we can approach You, not just as our God, not as our judge, not merely as our King and Sovereign, but as our loving, gracious Father who loves to supply our needs. Lord, we ask that You would forgive us for our self-sufficiency. We ask that You would forgive us for going days, oftentimes, without looking to You for all things pertaining to our physical well-being. Lord, we confess that the ways that You have prospered us in this nation are often a snare to our souls, and we pray You would keep us from this, that You would keep us from pride, that You would work a deep humility in us, and that You would work within us a zeal for Your name and Your kingdom and Your will that would drive us to cry out in dependence upon You, to give us all things needed for our physical life, so that we might serve You faithfully in the earth for as many days as You would ordain us to have here. We need You, Lord. This very moment, You are the one who is upholding us, Lord Jesus, by the word of Your power. You're upholding every molecule in this universe in this very moment. And if You were to but drop them, everything would disintegrate in an instant. How needy and dependent we are. Teach us this. Help us to see, so that we would be as children ought to be, needy and dependent. And so that You would be as fathers ought to be, honored and looked to and loved and appreciated and adored. Oh, make it so, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.